So I appreciate the questions that people are bringing to the groups. And I thought I would share some of the things we talked about for the benefit of others. So one was a question about this observing mind and basically bringing mindfulness to experience, and is that enough? And this Sayadaw Utejaniya actually has a book that is titled Awareness Alone Is Not Enough. So, to clarify, no. So also there's something called Right View or Wise View. And that's basically all this Dharma stuff that we're talking about here, or to be specific, that I'm talking about here in this hall, is to clarify some... yeah, understandings about the way things are, which then you can check out using your power of mindfulness. So using your awareness. So then in some ways you could consider them like ideas or hypotheses or theories that then it's up to you to observe and see in your own experience directly. So someone was asking about, you know, sitting long periods of time, and I think if it happens naturally that you sit for a long period of time, it's fine, if there's not a lot of struggle with it. But really, we don't need to sit for so long, intentionally or with a struggle. At least in this style of practice that we're doing, that's developing a flexible kind of awareness that can go into many different activities. So I was reminded of this quote from Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, who's a Tibetan teacher. When engaging in meditation practice, we should feel it to be as natural as eating, breathing, or defecating. It should not become a specialized or formal event, bloated with seriousness and solemnity. So this is the second appearance of defecating in the hall today. And really the meaning is like nothing has to be left out. You know, in some ways, all we're doing is just continuing to be a human being and then observe in that experience like what it is that is the cause of suffering, what is the cause of well-being, yeah, what's true about who we think we are. You know. But we don't need to actually be in some ways a more spiritual or better version of ourselves in order to practice. So hopefully this can be a little bit relaxing for you, that you know, even though we have some formality here in the hall, certainly, and in silence and so on. To me, the reason for it is cultivating the conditions for us to be able to see clearly. And also, even though there's this, you know, we don't need to have this solemnity or any pretension about it, there is a way in practice that we can cultivate or practice a sense of our dignity as human beings. So even when sitting, there's a way in which we can recognize our full human dignity in the way that we sit or as we walk. And it doesn't have to be like a put-on thing, but really recognizing in some ways like the sacredness of our life. Yeah, even some reverence for life, if that is meaningful to you. And then in this way it can become... not so hard to become intimate with what it's like to be alive. In very simple things also, you know, even walking outside or feeling the air, feeling the leaves moving, things like this. So one of the beautiful things about retreat for me also is getting a chance to really take the time to experience a lot of what it's like to be alive that we usually gloss over, we usually skip. And in some ways, it kind of gives you the opportunity to be like a child again. If you had a childhood in which somebody else was taking care of the main details of food and clothing and shelter, you know, then in some ways you had a lot of chance to play or explore, experience nature, like watch insects moving, you know, be curious about the birds and the water. And so there's a way in which we can have the same spirit about our meditation, about practice, about being on retreat, and yeah, allow yourself some exploration or play. So this brings also to the third point from the meetings, which was a question about joy. And yeah, this sense like, oh, it seems like kind of serious. You see people walking around with very serious expressions, and you know, like, it's so nice when occasionally there's a smile on the face or something like that. So joy is definitely part of the path. It's a wholesome quality. It's one that is mentioned by the Buddha as one of the factors of awakening. And if you feel joy in your practice and life and just being around here, it's a good thing. It's not like something you need to cover up to look like a good meditator, serious again or something. Or in fact, the Buddha talked about different kinds of joy, different kinds of happiness that's available to us. So one kind of happiness or joy is the happiness of sense pleasures, of basic experiences of life. And you might find this on retreat also, that you have more access to very simple experiences being very beautiful or in some ways, yeah, more profound than usual. So even just drinking a cup of tea or looking at the sunset, or tasting something that otherwise is very simple, like oatmeal. It might be like much more profound and satisfying experience in some ways than you're used to. I can't remember if I've told this story here, but in Spirit Rock Meditation Center in California, they made a cookbook because people were asking for the recipes from the retreat because it was so good. And so then they made a cookbook about this and a website and stuff. And then some people complained, you know, I went home and I made this, but it didn't taste the same. So you must have left out something, some ingredients, like you didn't put the recipe properly there. And, you know, we said, well, the missing ingredients was mindfulness and concentration. That was the, that was what you add to the food. So try it again with that, and then you'll really taste what the good oatmeal is like, or stir fry, something like that. So this level of really being present for experiences of life is one, but yeah, we don't need to stop there. And there's another level of joy that can come from actually the stability of mind, so this concentration or samadhi. And this can be a steadiness that is there with changing objects or from a stillness of mind, a steadiness of mind in focused on one posture. So there's a lot of power available to us, you could say, that's usually very distracted. And then when we have the opportunity to settle and to collect the energy, there's a way in which it actually makes our system happy. You know, the collecting the energy of the body, of the mind, this focus, samadhi. And then actually a lot of joy can come from that. Very simply, joy can come from that. And it's good to notice that too. The joy of meditation, the joy of collected attention. So this can free you from thinking that you need a better and more expensive car to have joy, or better house, or more expensive watch. I don't know if you get caught up as that much stuff as we do in America like that, but in America that's the recipe for happiness is said to be, you know, keep getting more and more expensive and better stuff. But it doesn't really work, you know. So the happiness of sense experiences and really being with them, the happiness of concentration, collectedness, and then the joy of liberation is supposed to be the peak joy, you know, the greatest happiness available is this kind of well-being that's beyond any changing circumstance. So even the collectedness of mind is dependent upon different conditions. So being on retreat is good conditions to be able to settle the mind. But one of the radical things about the Buddha's teaching is that it's actually possible in some ways to like rewire the way that we operate. You know, can actually uproot some patterns that are unhelpful, you know, from our mind. So joy at any of these stages is good, is wholesome, can feel like it's a positive thing. So if you enjoy anything on retreat, it's helpful to notice that. And particularly helpful to notice how it's possible to have joy even in a very simple life. So we're leading like pretty simple life here, you know, probably more simple than what you have at home. I think it's helpful to disrupt our wrong view, you could say, that suggests we need many, many different things in order to have a sense of contentment. So notice if there's any time that you're just walking outside or just sitting here and actually have a real sense of well-being, contentedness, happiness. And allow yourself to soak in that, to notice that, to be with that. And then you can continue to observe, even with that. Okay, what's the relationship I have to that? And, you know, as it fades, does the mind grasp after it? Do we then spend a long time trying to recreate it through everything that might have caused that? So we can continue our practice of mindfulness, of investigation, but to say joy is a wholesome factor in our path. And a good part of human life also. So we don't need to skip over it or feel bad about it or anything like that. So just getting to practice simply, exploring what it is to be a human being and what it is to be alive. Allowing yourself to be curious and explore. And then learning at each stage what's the well-being that's available to us as we continue on the path. So remembering our practice can be very simple, very natural, can be at ease. You don't need to be different than you are. So here we're just sitting, doing nothing, feeling the body, breathing, just being aware very gently. And then when we shift, go to moving, you can just notice if we're aware in the new posture, connect with the sense of moving, with awareness, and then just continue So in some ways we don't need to make one experience or object any more important than the other. So there's sort of a radical equality in this as well. We can just sit and rest with these words. And let them go.